Hey, this thing on? Hey, everybody hear me? Okay, just so you know, the captain's not with us anymore. The pilot's dead. We're hijacking this ship. So sit down, shut up! Enjoy the ride. Got any musicians on here? It's boring. You a musician? You look like a musician.
Sometimes.
Okay, sorry. Had to do something different.
I pretend to be one sometimes.
And pretend to be one? Nah, you do.
I play one on stage.
Yeah. She plays one on stage, too.
I pretend that I sing and play guitar at the same time.
I've seen her tap her foot while she does it, too.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks for joining us. Got one of the guys from Endeavor here tonight. Introduce yourself to us.
My name is Matt Devitt. I'm the drummer from Endeavor. I think Dave might be stopping by later if he can pry himself away from duties.
Yeah, we all know about those.
Duties.
Compulsory things that we just have to do whether we want to or not.
Yeah, we're leaving town tomorrow, so we got to get everything buttoned up before we go, you know.
Cool. So what are you leaving town for?
We're going on tour, play a bunch of the Project Independent dates. I think we're hitting Vegas on Friday night, and then we go to Phoenix. Then we're doing three California dates and Reno. And then the following week, Project Independent is coming through Montana. We're going to play the Bozeman show on the 11th. And then the 12th of September is the Rail Yard Project Independent show, which is also our official CD release show.
Oh, cool. So tell us about CD.
Tales of the Spooky Thunderfish. We just went down to San Diego and recorded this. And it was a ton of fun. We worked with a great engineer down there who helped us produce it, named Matt Van Allen, and cracked a whip on all of us pretty hard. So we were super, super excited about the way that it turned out, really happy with it. The art's pretty fun.
So I put on a post for the show on this, the mythology of the spooky thunder fish. Let's have the mythology of the spooky thunder fish.
I don't even know if I, it's so mythol. It's more like mythological mythology, right? I don't even know if I know the whole story. I know it was something that we came up with that, you know, one time we were on the road and found some fish carcass and we were camping somewhere and so yeah, it just became a big joke about the spooky thunderfish because it was some kind of big, scary-looking carcass. I think Mario's got a picture of it on his phone somewhere. He probably posted it on his Facebook, and I think it's hidden in the art there somewhere. If you look deep enough, you'll find it.
We're looking.
I just love the idea of calling it Tales of the Spooky Thunderfish. It's awesome. And then you just look at the cover, and it's all lightning and dark and... It's just really badass looking cover. I'm just admiring it. It's a very good idea to call it that.
Yeah, it seemed like a fun name. It's definitely something that conveys that we don't take ourselves as seriously as some people might think, you know. Like we just want to play some heavy metal and have a good time and yeah. You know, we try not to take ourselves too seriously, but you know, we definitely take the music seriously and have fun with it, so we're looking forward to being on the road here. It's coming up quick. Good 60 hours in the van.
Going to get to know each other really well.
Again.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, again. I don't know if we can know each other any more well than we already do.
So how long have you guys been together?
The five of us have been together for, I believe, about 13 and a half, almost 14 years in November, I think, with all five of us. And I think it'll be 17 for everybody except Mike, because Mike joined a couple years after we'd been already playing. So it's been a long time, over 10 years. We're going to go with over 10 years.
Okay. and that's, yeah, we'll stop there. When you start hitting over 25 years, then you can start admitting to it again.
That's right. Yeah, we're working towards a legacy.
So and that's pretty much all here in Billings. Have you done any tours like this outside of Billings before?
Yeah, we've done some of the Project Independent dates before. We went and played the Whiskey last year and did some California dates. And we've done some Pacific Northwest stuff, you know, Seattle, Portland, that stuff. I think the very first time we went out, we went to the Midwest. We haven't been back over there, I don't think, since then, but That's what you get. Chicago's hot, humid. I think it was August, too, probably. But I can't imagine. I was saying earlier, I don't think it's going to be any cooler in Vegas when we go tomorrow, or Phoenix. So
No.
Just have to sweat through it.
Get a bake. It's kind of the synchronicity of this whole thing, having you guys on. And I've got our guest next week that's coming on. They're playing Project Independent down in Denver.
Oh, are they? We did the Denver one last year. Who is it?
It's the guys from Dead Past have another band called Dirty Bastards. It's an acoustic band, so they're going from metal to acoustic and still doing a lot of the same stuff. And
awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to have them on next week and find out just what this stuff is.
Now, I wonder what the venue is for that in Denver. It was Castleman's when we were down there. It was a really cool club.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I haven't found out yet, so I'll find out next week or sometime between now and then. So, plugging it, you got to listen to the show next week if you want to find out where. The cliffhanger, I don't know where. Listen to the show. Tune in next time.
That's right.
When we tell you.
Secrets will be revealed.
So, yeah, Denver's got to be a good place to play right now. It'd be fun.
So what's this first song we got coming up, Sean, that we're going to listen to here?
We've got Drop Dead off the new album.
That'd be the title track off Tales of the Spooky Thunderfish. You want to tell us about it now, or wait and hold us in suspense till it's over?
I'll hold you in suspense.
Oh, God. That's like putting me in a round room and telling me to find a corner.
Get up, 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 get up
And we're back.
Well, I, you know, that song we just listened to, I just got to say that it was really fucking awesome. And I actually kind of got lost in it and didn't know we were back on. I told to come back on. I had to hurry up and get, you know, back to normal. But anyways, you know, I was just asked, that, you know, to talk and ask some real serious questions. And I was just thinking to myself, I have one serious question that I need to ask you right now.
One right now.
See if you can answer this. Have you pooped today?
Definitely.
Okay. How was it?
Average.
Okay. All right. Well, all right.
Wasn't exemplary.
I guess that the fact that you did was okay.
That's supposed to be like at least a daily.
Well, I was trying to get really. I was trying to get personal. You know.
So. I'm a huge coffee fan, so there's really no stopping that. It's going to happen.
We can relate on that.
The true meaning of fear is when you're stuck in rush hour traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge and you realize you've got a bran muffin and a double, for breakfast in the morning. Double shot in your brevet and a bran muffin for breakfast and you get stuck in rush hour traffic. That is fear, man. That's true fear.
That's bravery.
Got some of that California traffic to look forward to here coming up.
Plan well, my friend.
Well, now that we got all that out of the way, I guess that was my only serious question. I want to hear the next song in the album.
She's the only person I've ever seen that's listened to music, and she just like melted into the chair and became one with it. And I don't think I've ever seen that reaction before.
I like metal. It's a metal band. I like Endeavor too. I like you guys.
Most definitely.
I know.
I remember two, 3 years ago when I first started up the record label down in Wyoming, I met Andre at Yellowstone Valley Brewing.
Right.
And he came up and he gave me your album. And I'm like, oh, God, metal. Well, I had a metal band a while back that I booked into the Beaver Creek down there, and I went and listened to them, put earplugs in. I knew they were going to be loud. They were. Glad I had earplugs. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Right?
It was amazing listening to it. So I'm like, okay, I'll give this another try, and plugged it into the truck on the way back to Sheridan, driving down there and listened to it. And we started listening to it to shows. We were going to do stage setup, lights, sound, and everything for festivals, and we'd listen to it on the way there. That way we could get the job done quicker. We were in the right mood and we hit the ground. Boots hit the ground. We were ready to roll. And
that's right.
That's what I like. I'm ready to roll with it. Definitely ready to roll.
Right.
You know, I can say motivational. My drummer, Philip Champagne. Do you know him at all?
I think I've met him in the store.
Yeah.
Since he was
small, he was telling me. Yeah. We were talking about you you guys one time. We were just talking about you guys and I was like, "Yeah, I was saying that we liked you guys." And he was telling me when he was a little boy that he used to he used to watch them. Like he would try to get all their shows and stuff and go watch them, and I don't know, he just thought you guys were the coolest band ever. But I think that was so weird. He was so young and he was like trying to go to all their shows. Trying to talk to the bandmates and stuff, and
yeah, it's pretty funny. We've got a pretty good gamut of ages in our demographic anymore, because a lot of our fans have kids, and those kids are now they're becoming Endeavor fans. So it's kind of fun. We get a little multi-generational,
exactly.
And sign some kids' shoes and stuff, you know, giving autographs. They don't have anything like sign my shoe, and you're like, well, it's like some little kid. You're like, okay, like
that's awesome.
You're not gonna be like, no, I'm not signing your shoe, kid, you know, because it's awesome to see kids digging it, you know.
Yeah,
so
exactly. So you know, just saying, he was digging
and
that
yeah, age. And that's you know, and that's you know, they're gonna be the next generation, so you gotta support that. And I mean, you know, most of what I do is teach drums. You know, and I love it because you got to pass it on. You can't keep it all for yourself, because it's just not how music works. You got to give it away. You know,
I think with drums, I play percussions, and I know for me, when I start hearing the rhythms and getting into it and roll with it. If you don't give it away, your brain's going to explode. It's just going to splatter. Yeah. Your whole body's going to fly apart. It's You got to get it out there. It's got to go somewhere. So what's your background? How'd you get into music? What age? What's your journey been?
I don't know. I played a little bit of piano when I was super young. I've been playing drums since basically the fifth grade. I played guitar for a long time before I'd played drums, and I continued to play both. But after a couple of years of playing drums, I pretty much realized that like that's really what I wanted to do more than anything. I've been playing music for a long time. My dad plays some jazz guitar, so I started playing jazz real young. You know, by the time I was 12, I could hit a ride cymbal and go dang, dang, ga-dang, dang, ga-dang. So I was playing jazz standards and started doing that stuff. And then, you know, of course, as a teenager, you gotta play some rock and metal and that kind of stuff. And so started doing that and loved that, you know. And I'll play anything as long as it's fun, you know. Funk, jazz, metal, classical, you know, as long as it's fun, I'll do it.
God, cutting your teeth on jazz, the rest of it should have just rolled pretty easy for you, I would think.
You know, I don't know. It depends. I mean, jazz can definitely be tricky, but at the same time, to me, like, it's all music. So it's really, I think it's all the same, really. I mean, it's a different approach. It's definitely a different approach with jazz where you're playing standards a lot of times. And so you know how those songs go, but there's a reason that they're standards. It's because they're good tunes. So, you know, you're getting to play good music. And it's fun, but it's also a different kind of reward to play original material, you know, because especially when people like it, you feel a little bit more connected to it, you know, because you created it from the bottom up. So it's definitely a different type of thing. But yeah, like I said, essentially, if it's fun to play the music, it doesn't matter. There's only two kinds of music, good and bad, right?
Definitely.
And you get to decide which one's which.
And if you're not having fun when you're playing it, you're just not doing it right. That's
right.
That's all there is to it. You're just not doing it right.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta. If you're not having fun doing it, it's really hard for anybody to have fun listening to it because, you know, that translates, you know.
So having been to quite a few metal shows, the energy, how's the energy when you put on a really good show? At what point do you feel that gap being bridged, or you connect with the energy of the crowd? What's that? What point do you get that? How do you know when you've hit that? What's it feel like?
Oh, I think it can happen right away if it's a good crowd. It's almost instantaneous, yeah. Really. It's like as soon as from note one, really. I mean, if it's, you know, sometimes it takes more to work into it than that first note, but you know, for the most part, we just have such a good time playing music that as soon as we start, everybody, you know, senses that and sees that, and that helps them to have a good time, you know, getting into it. And, you know, we're definitely into it, you know. We wouldn't keep doing it if we weren't digging it. Like, what was the point be, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, I love the audience energy. It really, you know, you have some different kinds of gigs where it can be overwhelming, you know, especially if it's a big full room. But it feels like you're being lifted up, you know. That's about the best way to describe it.
Have you ever wound up at some place where you had to like open with Rawhide from the Blues Brothers? Have you ever played in that bar?
Behind the chicken wire?
Yeah, behind the chicken wire.
I don't know. I've had some rough gigs like that. Everybody has, I guess. I don't think we ever. Yeah, I think we once is when we were before we were Endeavor, when we were called Grindstone. Once we got billed as Rhinestone. So that was an interesting. We're like, yeah, we're not doing any of those tunes, so.
Oh, that'd be like one of my favorite bars in this whole part of the nation out here. And everybody around here will know this, a local favorite, Jimtown Saloon.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what it'd be like to play in that place. It's, for those of you not in the Billings, Montana area, Jimtown Saloon has a beer can pile out back that can be seen by satellite for like the last 20 years, and it's hard to say how many bodies are buried in it. It's a really cool place. Kind of like going to a bar out of the movie Mad Max, you know,
that
bar in there, the Thunderdome, and
yeah,
it's kind of like going to one of those places.
I don't know. I like dive bars. I think they just have so much character.
Oh,
they
I do
crack
too.
Me up,
there's never a dull moment.
Me too.
Never. endless source of entertainment and amusement.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so we might get to see some new ones here this week. I don't know. We'll find out. I know the place we're playing in Vegas is pretty cool because we played there last year. And it was pretty cool.
You need to like walk a block over somewhere, pull a flyer off a post for some local band, and
that's right.
Go wander out, and that's what I always do. I'll pull a flyer off a post for some local band. Looks like, yeah, they look interesting. It's got to be a local thing, so
right.
You know, take my chances, and I've never gone wrong doing that. It's that's always awesome. Been something good.
That's awesome. Yeah, we used to have flyer wars with everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't see that up in this part of the country much anymore. You get to the big city, though, and there's still people that stand there and hand things out on corners right. As you walk by, and I love it. You know, it's always someone that's enthused about the band. They're excited about the band. They're not getting paid to street team and stand there on the corner and do that. They're excited about it. You can stand there and bullshit with them and learn about the band and decide if you want to go.
Right.
Go check them out.
Yeah, I guess one of the things I could say about that Project Independent is that we're doing is they're webcasting that whole thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to projectindependent.net, you know, starting Friday, you can see us Friday night. We'll be on there.
Nice.
And
very, very nice.
So you can watch it from anywhere. And they're going to do the same thing when they come here and do it here. So
yep.
Come down and make yourself famous.
Yeah.
On that World Wide Web thing.
I don't think so. No. No. If I were famous, I would have way more people watching me than what I do now. And I'm uncomfortable as it is. So... what we got up next over there? How much time we got with that? We about halfway through?
Yeah, just about.
Just about?
We got Guzzlefish coming up.
Guzzlefish.
We're on the playlist.
Yeah. No, I don't even...
It's the new one.
Yeah, let's just roll right into that. You got to roll right into that one. Kind of hit you out of nowhere.
We'll be right back.
You should leave it right there.
Just leave well enough alone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the secret stuff. Get in there.
It's almost like a government secret.
No, definitely not a government secret.
That didn't sound very believable, but we'll go for it anyway. I think it's all them pauses in the room.
It only could be considered a government secret if it's because they don't know anything about it. Then maybe.
I'm sure our government knew about it before you knew about
it. That's
right. They
were listening as we recorded.
They'd already calculated the odds of how it was going to turn out, and yeah. Yep. Okay, then.
There's some kind of little silly song on there at the end. Go a little further.
Oh, God, we might.
Well, until then, you know.
Yeah, if you get about, you know, I don't know, 66.6 seconds in, then you can
hidden Easter eggs in the new Endeavor.
I'm thinking if you're stuck on the couch and you can't get up, eventually you're going to hear it.
You're going to be subjected.
Because you gave in, you succumbed.
That's right.
He succumbed. Sorry, that word is weird.
Hey, she's making fun of me.
I say that. No, I just like to say it like that because it just sounds funny. You know, succumbed. I don't
know. Did you hear what I heard?
It just sounds funny that way. Well, anyway, I was going to ask you.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Another serious question?
But it's actually serious.
Another serious question.
So, who, dun, 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 if you had dun, to choose, who were some musical inspirations of yours?
Musical inspirations of
anybody?
Mine.
Anyone.
Or did you have
any
a muse?
That you, like, really
was there a muse in your life?
Right, you know,
oh, I've had a ton of influences and from every genre ever, you know?
There we go. Just tell us all about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's your most embarrassing one?
Do I have embarrassing influences? I don't know. That's a tricky one. Animal from the Muppets, does that count? You know, he's got that energy.
No, I think he's kind of cool. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, however, who else got to do like a drum off with Buddy Rich and Tito Puente and like everybody on TV?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Animal. He's got a pretty good resume if you think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, definitely.
Looks good on paper until you hire the guy. Sounds just like a drummer, right?
Oh yeah, one of my without a doubt, Fraggle Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Fraggle Rock is cool stuff, most definitely.
So, I don't know. You know, I've had so many influences, you know, and they're really wide-ranging. You know, Danny Carey from Tool all the way to Stan Moore from Galactic. And, you know, I don't know, early on, it was definitely a lot of, classic rock influence, but also... you know, some more progressive rock stuff. Definitely Rush, Neil Peart, obviously. You know, you gotta you get into that guy's stuff at some point if you're playing drums. And there's just so many. The list goes on and on. I've been reading music biographies about people because they're so completely entertaining. I don't know. I heard Mike's got Paul Stanley's new one. I got to get that. That's got to be funny to read. He just finished it, so I'm going to make him bring it on the road.
So I've read greatest, a bunch of those. Greatest all-time drummer ever to live.
Oh, like if you're just going to put one guy.
Just one guy.
I don't believe in that.
I didn't say John Bonham earlier, so I could pick that now, but that's really hard to pick one guy, because how do you say that?
Yeah.
How do you say that? I mean,
I don't think you can, in my opinion.
John Bonham.
How do you compare Buddy Rich to you know, Danny Carey? Like, this is apples and oranges, but they're both like the best at what they do.
Well, you got to think about what it is they do. I mean, John Bonham definitely had a huge impact on society and the public. Boom, for a period of time,
right?
And does that make him the best, though?
I don't think that that's what makes him the best. Right. And see, that's just it. Like,
the best. You know, you appreciate. Artistically the best.
Right. There's so many categories.
Yeah. Where do you.
I mean, if you know, if you were going to say, if we're going to pick somebody for groove, it'd be hard not to pick John Bonham, but then you get into those jazz cats, too, and they got groove all over the place. So it's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's so hard to pick, you know?
It's a backhanded way to find out who your real favorites are.
That's right. Mitch Mitchell from the Jimi Hendrix Experience is probably my earliest biggest influence, you know, but Tim Alexander from Primus and, you know, whatever else.
And you're gonna
I just saw something on Facebook that Danny Carey's going to do like 3 dates with Primus. I want to go to Denver for that. Or Chicago.
I do gotta say, being a percussionist, I have one favorite percussionist that just
Your one favorite percussionist?
You know, I don't even know the girl's name, but she was the percussionist for Frank Zappa.
Oh,
and what that woman could do was ahead of her time, intense and inhuman, and I cannot remember her name. And I've watched her play in videos, and it's just it takes my breath away. I don't know how one person can play all the woods, all the drums, all the weird stuff that I don't even know what the name of is, and everything else all at once.
I did a Zappa tribute gig with Alex Dom and not too long ago, and we did a bunch of that stuff. And my buddy Luke came and played percussion, played marimba on some tunes, and it was incredible. Yeah, that gal is pretty unreal.
So here to take place in your mythology of the mud shark, the don't eat the yellow snow rabbit. Yeah, I like Zappa. Good guy. Dun, 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 dun. We're waiting.
I'm going to find out. I got to find out.
In the meantime, while he's looking this up, we're moving to Montana, going to storm here a dental floss farm.
Ruth Underwood.
That's it right there.
My name is Ruth Underwood. Awesome.
Yep. Yeah, just I'm blown away every time. I have no idea why.
Check out some Evelyn Glennie. She did a TED Talks thing that was pretty out of this world.
TED Talks. I've never seen
one of
those.
It was the best one I've seen, but I'm kind of biased because she like played marimba and snare drum through the whole thing. So it was right up my alley.
See, I just like things I can beat on, especially with my hands. You
right.
Know, just, you know, very tactile. And if I can reach out and touch it.
Right.
And I still to this day don't know how to play. I have no idea how to play. It's just to hear the music, something happens between your brain and your hands. And a lot of times you're not even aware of it. It's just out there. You're kind of watching it happen when you get in the zone.
Right.
And your body's just doing it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, Charlie Parker probably said it the best, where he's like, well, you work on all that stuff and you practice all that technique, but then when you go play, like, you just go play. You know, you just forget all that stuff and play at that point, because that's what you're doing. So
yeah.
So I think that's what everybody does at some point.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
It becomes its own thing.
She's quiet over there again.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to freak you out. I don't know what's up with me.
So, Mandy, when you play music, do you feel like it's transcending? Do you ever feel like time speeds up or slows down when you're performing?
Is it ever a sexual experience? Are you aroused?
Not to sound too mushy, but I feel like when I play music, I'm truly myself, and I'm never completely myself when I'm not playing it, even though I know I am.
Right.
But when you're playing your music, you just feel...
complete?
So good. I just don't even really... I don't even know how to explain it. It's like you're suddenly confident, but you're not confident in real life really that much. But then you get up there, and you can just do it, and you just feel awesome.
Right.
Fucking love playing. I can't wait until the 12th. I haven't played a show in like a month or more, so I'm getting antsy.
So what's the craziest thing you've ever had happen to you on stage where you just had that moment where you kind of went, oh, shit, can I keep this up? Can I?
The craziest
in the zone, just craziest blowing it out, zone. Going, wow, what is going on?
I don't know. That's a really tough one. It's the craziest, most transcendent moment. I mean, I've played so many shows and I've been lucky that it happens quite a bit. So it's really hard to pick one. To me, the stuff that I always remember is the wacky bizarre stuff that happens. You know, like somebody trips and falls like actually into my drum set, causing it to parts and pieces of it to move and stuff. Like you always remember stuff like that, or somebody falling off the stage. You know, like. They take a step thinking that there's more stage there and there isn't. I always remember that stuff. That's where you remember it. Like it's hard to remember the transcendent stuff because you're just like, oh, that was great. And then, you know, go on and do it the next time, you know?
Yeah, the oh shits are definitely... especially if you can laugh at them and go, holy shit, wow!
Right.
Yeah. Those are always really cool.
Catching drumsticks that you dropped before it, like... gets out of your hand, but you manage to get it back in your hand before it falls to the floor. Those are some interesting moments.
Oh, and people see that kind of stuff. People, there'll be, 10 or 20 people out there in the crowd that'll see that and they'll be like, wow, did you see that?
Yeah, I just got lucky again. That guy just got lucky again. half the time anymore, if I drop that stick, I just grab it back out of the air before I lose it. That's fun. I don't know,
it'd be hard, man.
Dave jumping up on my bass drum, I'm just waiting for that sucker to crack because it's already got a crack in it. I'm like, ooh, one of these days. He's going to jump up there and the whole drum's going to go.
Get out there, ratchet cam straps around it, put it under tension so it doesn't break as soon.
That's right.
You know, you got to have a video on it. You need to just get a camera and keep it there on that drum until it finally happens. You got to catch those moments. That's a Kodak moment there. That's the money shot.
That would be good. Yeah, I don't want to miss that. It always seems like even if you got somebody taking video and taking pictures, then the one thing happens at the gig and nobody got that thing. And you're like, what? How did everybody miss this?
Yep.
You got two people taking pictures of somebody shooting video and nobody got this thing?
And then you play it really fast over and over and over again in the video and then really slow a couple of times. And then,
oh, man, we have one.
You make like a five-minute video of this.
We've got a video of us playing at the Sunset like 10 years ago. And it's like Dave's been like going back through and digitizing some of our old stuff. And he found this one. And I don't know if it was a Halloween show, but it was the Sunset Bowl. And it was like... we got done playing, and I'm back there making my drums down, and my buddy Tyson, who I think Pink must have come and played congas with us, because we had, he was up there too, and Mario's got a drink in both hands, and takes a step off the stage, and it's only, maybe 8 inches, it was a short stage, it was a basement place, and he stepped right into a puddle of something, and it was just nothing but slick, and you just see that his foot go up, and you see one of those drink, both of them just go flying, like one of them just had serious velocity. You could see the cup bounce off of the wall, and his seriously just feet straight up, and he's like flat, and then just bam, it just lands. We watch that. Okay, we're going to rewind it, watch it again. We must have watched it like 50 times at band practice. We're like, all right, we got to go play something. We got to stop watching Mario fall on his ass. This is enough. But it's the best. It'll be on the blooper reel.
Sometimes watching your best friend fall on his ass and, just doing it gracefully with style and entertainment.
It was actually pretty good. It was. I mean, it wasn't a bad fall. He got like nice and vertical and flat, He didn't break anything. He recovered well, I think. I don't think he saved either one of those drinks, but he gave it the effort. And he was laughing at it too, It wasn't.
I'm just visualizing this and I can totally see it.
Oh, it was some funny stuff. We've got a lot of funny video over the years. I keep telling Dave he's got to make the blooper reel when he gets through all of it. That's what I want. I'm like, I don't need the music. We're just going to go play another show this weekend anyway, but I need the blooper reel.
Put it all together and send it to me one of these nights when I get insomnia and my mind just won't quit running and running and running all night long. You know how it does.
Oh, yeah.
I'll put it together for you.
I'll get you one when we get it put together. I think he's about halfway through, so... There soon will be a blooper reel.
There's got to be
some good ones on there. We've had enough time.
And then here's your challenge, right? A totally hilarious, stupid, nonsensical, off-the-wall metal tune to go with
little
it.
Metal jingle to go along with the blooper reel. That's not bad. I kind of like it.
That would be pretty awesome.
I mean, who else gets to do that?
That could be good. I like it.
So where are we at now? What do we got up next over there? Sean is our engineer over here.
And
he kind of, you know, he's the backbone behind this show and runs it and everything.
How's it going? Upcoming, we have The Hand.
Yes, this is a fun one. We just shot a video for this one. We were on a soundtrack for The Writer's Ghost, which was a movie that was produced and shot locally. And they brought a director up. It was Michael Hitchcock and David. They brought a director up from California, Douglas G, and we were on the soundtrack for it, and then they were like, well, hey, we want to shoot a video. Let's just do it at the house where we shot the movie. So we did that, and then we sent the director all the footage, and he spliced some of the movie footage in there. So if you want to check out the video, you can go to our website. It's friendsoftheend.com, or hit us up on Facebook at the Endeavor Facebook page. Check that video out. I think that movie's going to be coming out November sometime, and they might screen the videos with the movie, so it should be a lot of fun. But we had a ton of fun shooting the video for this tune, and just so happened it worked out. We were just shot it right before we were going down to record it in San Diego because we re-recorded this tune because we wanted a better, higher fidelity version of it, so we were pretty happy with this version.
I am impressed. I'm impressed. That was... You hardly took a breath through that whole thing. That was the most wonderful, shameless self-promotion I've ever heard in my life. Friendsoftheend.com. Get over there. Look at the video.
Look at the video.
Check it out. It's part of a movie.
Just go to YouTube, type in The Hand and Endeavor. You'll find it. You could do that too.
Yep, do that too.
Yeah, I gotta push it, you know? Like
it's rules of the game. It's rules of the game.
You know? Yeah, we're proud of it. We had a ton of fun shooting the video and a whole lot of fun recording this tune, and we had a lot of fun. It's my buddy Levi's favorite tune. So,
at first I was thinking, like, you know, as if we're talking like the 1930s, the hand, or the 1970s, the hand that crawls around and keeps trying to attack the guy it got cut off from.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
Michael Caine
Dave really wanted to do he wanted to go with that direction with this tune.
The hand kept killing people that he didn't like.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was an old Michael Caine movie.
I saw it. It scared me. I was like, oh,
no kidding.
Plus, being a drummer, I'm like, oh, I don't need to get my hand cut off at all either.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't like that. And then have it haunt you, you know?
Yeah.
Haunt you, and it's not good.
Kill everybody around you that's ever been mean to you, and then come after you when you realize that your hand is out there alive, killing people.
Oh, my God.
That's the idea. Dun, 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 dun.
My hand's a happy hand, by the way. My hand wouldn't kill people. My hand would make people happy.
Your left hand or your right hand? Which one? You got two of them. I'm just saying. There's two sides of every coin. You got two hands, buddy.
Right.
The yin and the yang, the balance in there. Okay, we're way down the road where we shouldn't be. I think we should probably listen to the hand
let's
and
do
quit
it.
Talking about
it. I hope you're enjoying Adults with ADHD or ADD.
Shiny thing, squirrel. I seen an owl last night. No.
Listen to us.
Summer. Well, I guess technically you could call it two because the river was going so fast up there, we went twice. We like hit the route. We're like, let's do it again. We got time.
I'm going to hope you went with us, but I don't think you did.
No,
you
I went with my buddy. This was way up by Polson.
Oh, okay.
Like, my buddy in Butte has got a raft, and his brother Burton, who lives in Kalispell, has a raft. So we were up in Helena playing, and I was like, yeah, man, I'll come over and we can do some rafting on Sunday. So it was a great weekend. It was the second one was the scary one because I came off the boat in the second one. It was fun though.
God, the other day I totally went out on one. I was running an inflatable kayak and I'm like, I'm going to see what this thing will do and push it to its ultimate limit. I know I'm going to swim. And I got sideways and I should have been listening to metal music while I did this.
That's right.
Because I got sideways in a wave. Yep. And it throws me out. I'm in this nice, big, huge wave. And I'm in sideways in it, in this big inflatable kayak. And I want to know just how far you can go before you get tossed out of them, because we rent them out and stuff.
Right,
like
yeah.
That.
So you got
to I want to know when someone's about to go for a swim. So I go for a swim. Here comes my buddy over the top of me. And we're on a guided trip with a 16-foot raft. I hit the surface, and there's nothing but raft above me. Like, this sucks. I'm in a wave. I'm down underwater, and there's a boat on top of me.
Nice. So is that, are you doing the same route all the time? Where are you up there?
Yeah, well, we switch. We start out at Jeffrey's Landing. That's where our barn is. Yeah, shameless self-promotion. We work for Adventure Whitewater. They help promote the show here and keep me eating a little bit more than ramen noodles. I wouldn't want to live on those, so they've been feeding me all summer long and having a really good time. So, yeah, Adventure Whitewater. And if you mention the airship, you get a discount. Yes, thank you. How's that for shameless?
I'm going to remember that. I'll come hit it sometime.
And,
I love that
but
stuff.
Yeah, and it was, the river was weird this year, and you know, and everybody pretty much knows, but there was one person that died on the river this year, and there's, it happens about every other year in the same spot, Beartooth Drop up there, but it's, this is a the guy wasn't wearing a life jacket. I'm gonna leave it at that. Wear a life jacket when you go boating, always, even if you know the river. But we put in a Jeffrey's Landing at high water, and we take out at Inchicopee because it's moving so fast, and it's the wildest ride. You'll love it. Like I say, like I was telling everybody, my little girl that was 7 years old ran this run.
Well, that'll be fun. I'll come hit it sometime. Man, I'm into that.
Yeah, and depending on the year, you change the different spots. Right now, there's some killer waves on the Yellowstone. Coming off of there and going on to Yellowstone, there's some killer waves. It's a good time. And, you know, if you know this guy that works for a raft company that knows this spot, he knows where there's a rope tied to a tree and a place to park and a boogie board. And
love it.
Yeah, you can go check my website. We're out there. No, we're boogie boarding in the waves on a piece of plywood with a rope.
It's awesome.
It's a blast. I'm going to have to put some of your music behind that video on that.
Yeah,
it's
pretty good.
I've got two of them now so far and got some good crashes in them as well, biting it hard.
There we go.
Yep.
That's metal.
Biting it hard, getting up on the wave and going again. It's hilarious. So how long is the tour? How many stops you got?
We're going out for about a week right now. I think we're doing like 7 dates, and then we're coming back. We're back for just a few days, and then we go and do the Bozeman date, and the Billings date is the 12th at the Rail Yard.
Then what are you going to do? Sleep for 4 days? What?
I'm going to go play some more gigs after that. That's my plan. I got some other projects I'm playing other gigs with, too, you know. But we're still going to keep hitting it hard. I think, you know, we get done with those shows. We'll take a look at our schedule and start planning for the wintertime. We don't try not to travel nearly as much in the wintertime, but we try and do some fun stuff and do some writing and do, you know, play some local shows because... Mm-hmm. Don't really like to travel in Montana in December to play unless we have to.
Yeah, that's
sometimes it's worth it, but sometimes it's just, you know, 40 below. Like it's just a battle that, you know.
I don't think
just play local.
I'm going to inform the fans on something here on this because I don't think they realize that in this part of the country, the Rocky Mountain region here. Between us and the Mississippi is a really difficult place for bands to play in the wintertime.
Especially when you get to Montana and your closest thing is Bozeman. It's 144 miles away.
Or you get over
everything's all spread out. So
you're traveling from Laramie through the Bighorn Basin to Cody through Wind River Canyon in the winter. That could be a one-day trip of drink a whole bunch of Red Bull and hit the road. It could easily be 3 days stuck somewhere in your van, in your bus, on the side of the road, snowed in.
Yeah.
Or it could be driving all the way around to Cheyenne, up to Billings, back over, down to Cody, to get this little bitty distance.
Yeah.
That's the way it is out here in the Rocky Mountain front.
There's some stuff you just can't get around, and sometimes, you know, you have to go around it because you can't go through it. When we played Denver at PI last year, it was all that flooding. Mm-hmm. We couldn't go north. We had to go around the road because the road was actually completely washed out.
Remember
where we needed to go north to come back to Montana, and we had to go, you know, 100 miles out of our way just to get to a road that would take us north again, you know, like...
It was, 2007 or 8, something like that, or 9, I don't know, whatever, when everything flooded out south of Billings down on the reservation down there. And to get south out of Billings, you had to go from Billings over through Bridgard, Belfry, Clark, over the mountain into Sheridan, Wyoming, or Buffalo on switchbacks and 10,000-foot passes to get back to I-90. Because it was flooded. So this is what we deal with out here in the Rocky Mountain region, folks. So if your band shows up between
mercy of Mother Nature.
If your band shows up between about October 15th and June 1st, go see them. They risk their life to get here. Go out and show them you support them. Let them know that, hey, we're glad you made it.
Yeah, support live music. Support live music. Go buy their stuff.
You know, and pretty soon we'll be all rock stars and flying in planes, and we'll make every show. And yeah.
Sounds good.
It's my fantasy. I'm entitled to it. Some people fantasize about other things. I would like to get on my Learjet and fly someplace and then do the things I want to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of want to get on Russia's jet. I've just been watching too much Trailer Park Boys, that's all. They're on Russia's jet. That's the best.
You know, it's interesting because I got a lot of bands I work with in the Northwest, too, and some here, and in Europe, the bands from this region, believe it or not, up to the Northwest are really popular in the EU and in through Russia, Ukraine. I mean, that whole region in there, all the Baltic states and everything.
Right.
The U.S. bands from about here up through the Pacific Northwest are really popular. And I think people overlook that. I mean, I've got friends right now, they're going on tour over in Germany, they're going on tour in Russia, they're going on tour in Spain,
right,
things like that. And one of them, it's a southern rock band we had on a while back, Sweet Kiss Mama. They've been selling CDs for years now in Europe, and just, I mean, they're making money at it.
Nice, big in Europe.
Yep.
It's great touring over there because everything's all packed together. I talked to a guy who did tour. He did touring with like a lot of British bands in the United States, and he said they couldn't hang, and they didn't realize everything was so spread out, so far apart. They'd start a tour on the East Coast and couldn't even make it to the West Coast because they didn't realize how far they had to go to get there.
They hit Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Well, we got to get on the bus for 4 hours, 8 hours, like 10 hours on the bus. What? Like over there, you're like your next gig's 2 hours away. Like,
what do you mean it's 3.5 hours to the next town? And there's nothing there when you get there. I could eat another hot dog from a convenience store.
Yeah, you're going to want to hit that grocery store, stock that cooler up.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a metal show. Do that right. The engineer just screwed up the signal.
You got to do it like this.
Yeah. He just gave it a 2-minute signal, and I see the peace sign, and I'm like, this is a metal show. I want to see some horns over there.
Horns.
So, right. 2-minute signal. Two-minute warning. We have 2 minutes left for me to talk before he starts playing music again. So in that 2 minutes, I got to talk about all the people who sponsor this show and help us put this show on, like Legendary Tattoo and Art Gallery. Those guys are great down there. Go see Jason and Cameron. Get some really good ink down there. Adventure Whitewater, obviously. Last weekend coming up. However, if you call and you got a big enough group, there may be some more trips available. They keep me from eating ramen noodles and help, you know, provide what I need for this. Yellowstone Cellars and Winery. Get out there on Wednesday nights. We're going to be starting up our recordings again out there to put together some compilation CDs. So if you're an upcoming artist, come out on Wednesday night for open mic. Let us know you want to be recorded, and we'll get that done. There's also Friday and Saturday night live music out there. Yellowstone Valley Brewing provides this fine Endeavor beer that...
bonus!
It's a wonderful beer, by the way.
Endeavor beer.
Endeavor brewed at Yellowstone
Valley. I got your guys' beer.
Our bass player is the head brewer down there.
Yellowstone Valley Brewing is brewing this. Yes, the bass players brewed this up. This is from the band themselves, so you get a little bit of their heart and soul when you have a glass of this.
It's approved by us.
Let's thank Lannick Technology and MT Radio for providing a space for this and giving us a way to bring this all out to you all. So thank you very much, and have a good night. You guys got anything you want to say? Goodbye? Whatever.
No, thanks. It was cool hanging.
Peace out.
As the guys last time said, that was my best Johnny Fever WKRP in Cincinnati voice. Let's hear some music.